Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Patterns in WebSphere Message Broker Version 8. Today's presenter is Ralph Nanduri. Ralph is an L2 technical support engineer within the IBM WebSphere Message Broker product defect support team. His day-to-day work involves addressing customer-reported problems on different aspects of Message Broker. He was a co-author of a web paper on new features of Message Broker version 6.1 and gave technical exchange presentations earlier on security, performance, multi-instance areas of Message Broker, and monitoring. At this point in time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Ralph.
Thank you, Joseph. Today, the agenda of today's presentation is slide number 2. The agenda of today's presentation starts with an introduction to the patterns. Then I will go over with the different types of patterns and the available or newly introduced features for customization and extending these patterns. The slide number 3, please. Patterns-based development will help in simplifying and speeding up the development cycle of message flows and implementation, while enforcing the best policies and practices within the business process environment. A pattern is a fully developed reusable solution that can be altered or used as is to address the most common design and architectural tasks for avoiding many of the common design mistakes within the message broker application. Next slide, please. Slide number 4. IBM provides a number of pre-designed common patterns that can be used readily by the application developers. Also, if one needs, they can create and code one's own patterns using most of the available application languages like Java, PHP, or .NET. And these are called the user-defined patterns. Next slides, I'm going to talk about some built-in patterns that are available in the Message Broker Toolkit. Slide number 5, please. A catalog of patterns is provided in the WebSphere Message Broker Toolkit in the Pattern Explorer view. These built-in patterns cover a set of commonly encountered message flows scenarios. For example, here, the message-based integration patterns in which we have provided patterns that you can use to accept a request from many client applications on a single queue and to return responses to the correct client by using transactional or non-transactional flows and persistent or non-persistent WebSphere messages, MQ messages. And also there is another pattern within this category that helps to split large XML messages into smaller elements for processing by one or more targets by using transactional flows and persistent WebSphere MQ messages. And also we see service enablement patterns, service visualization, virtualization, file processing, and the application integration. The application integration pattern that is included in the built-in patterns list is to process the various types of IDOCs that have a single program identifier without you being required to deploy or rediscover existing message sets and adapters, even when you're adding different types of IDOCs. A catalog provides these are the patterns that are readily available in the Message Broker Toolkit, and you can use them. as and when the business purpose requirement. Some common patterns for message-based integration, service enablement, service realization. So, yeah, I've talked about it. Okay, the slide number 6, please. Here, when you select a pattern from the Pattern Explorer, the Pattern Specification tab gives the details, like what is the purpose of the pattern, the configuration of each pattern that is done via pattern parameter properties associated with the pattern, the effects and consequences of changing them, and also what all the post-requisite tasks that needs to be done for the pattern to implement it. The pattern implementations map to a complete specification with the prerequisite and post-requisite tasks, along with the pattern parameter properties. The pattern implementations have a create new instance button in the pattern specification tab if you take a look at. The patterns are either abstract or implementations. Like abstract means in that case you won't have any implementations, that you will have the details of the pattern. Like for example, under message based integration, if you click another pattern, for example the message correlator, the pattern specification tab displays the only information about the selected pattern, and because it's an abstract pattern, you won't see a create new instance button as opposed to the implementation patterns. Slide number 7, please. Here, when you click the Create New Instance button, a Create New Instance window opens and a unique name for the new pattern instance needs to be entered within the scope of the current workspace. You can create resources for each pattern more than once to give unique pattern instances with their different configurations. The configuration for each pattern instance is contained within the single pattern instance project. The pattern instance project contains links to all projects containing the resources that are created as a result of generating a pattern instance from configurations such as message flow, Java classes for Java compute nodes, ESQL modules, and XSL style sheets, XML files, so many other resources, whatever you want to include in the pattern. File number 8, please. After creating a new instance, here I show you a complete snapshot of the pattern specification tab that containing all the details about the pattern, which I actually showed in earlier, but here this is a complete snapshot, which is containing all the details about the pattern as I mentioned earlier, like pre and post the pattern steps and the description of the pattern. Before applying the pattern to produce a pattern instance, you must complete what all the tasks that are required, like for example, selection of unique names for pattern instance, selection of the WebSphere MQQ managers, queues that you would want the pattern instance to use, also, they decide whether the validation is required and whether either define message set, whether it is you, if you want, you have to have a message set determined. Decide whether you require logging of the incoming messages. If yes, then you have to place them here. Point number 9, please. Each pattern has values known as the pattern parameters that we can use to create the pattern resources for use in your environment. The pattern parameters that you can configure depending upon the specific pattern and also the options that you enable for that pattern. All pattern parameters are listed with their default values. The column headed M indicates whether the property is mandatory, or the column can be C. If it is column is headed by C, then it indicates that the property is configurable. that you can, that means that you can change the value when you add the message flow to the broker archive file. Where no default is indicated, the default value is an empty string. Slide number 10, please. Following successful generate action, the pattern instance, that there is a generate button in the previous file, you might have seen, I didn't mention. But once you click the generate button, a pattern instance project is created in your workspace and is displayed in the broker development view. The pattern instance project contains a pattern instance configuration file and a summary file. The summary file describes the tasks that have been generated and the tasks that are need to be still required. All the resources generated for a pattern instance are packaged into their own working set, and the broker development view displays only the resources in this working set. The name of the working set is always the same as the pattern instance name provided. You can generate or regenerate the pattern by using the same instance name, but if you regenerate, if you confirm to regenerate, then the existing projects will be deleted. File number 11, please. The pattern users can modify the pattern parameters defined in the pattern interface using the identified target properties in the workspace. To identify the target properties that you want to use in the workspace project, you need to open the selected target properties window by right-click either on the node or on the canvas of the message flow editor and select the target properties that you want to use in the patterns. I'm going to tell the roles and workflow of these patterns when we discuss about the user-defined port patterns. There are three types, like pattern users, pattern authors, and developers. There are three levels of layers are there, which I'm going to talk. But here, the pattern users can actually modify the pattern parameters here in this scenario. Next slide, slide number 12, please. The functionality of the patterns have been extended and enriched in version 8 Message Broker with several new features in generating user-defined patterns. The user-defined patterns helps to create patterns that you can reuse within the organization. Pattern author creates a user-defined pattern to meet a business or technical requirement, and the pattern user configures the pattern that the pattern author has created. To create the user-defined patterns, you should have a project known as exemplar that holds the content of a pattern. An exemplar contains the message flows or any other resources like, for example, source code, Java compute, Java classes for Java compute node, or ESQL modules for ESQL coding, message maps, XML files, test clients, those are all the things that I mentioned already. The exemplars are used to create pattern plugins by configuring a pattern authoring project. You can distribute the pattern plugins so that other people can use your pattern. Your pattern is displayed in the Patterns Explorer view and can be used in the same way as built-in patterns. Slide number 13, please. Here, this is a workflow showing the actions required for pattern authoring. There are three stages of creating a pattern performed by the broker developer, pattern author, pattern user. The message broker developer develops the exemplar. The exemplar is a fundamental and a starting point, as I mentioned, for the pattern authoring process. The pattern author builds a pattern plugin from the exemplar. Some of the pattern authoring involves defining the target properties for the pattern and configuring the user interface for the pattern user in some scenarios. The pattern author includes one or more subflows in a separate project within a pattern and configures the project so that it is not overwritten when the pattern instance is regenerated by the pattern users. So that's where the subflows, adding the subflows will be helpful. The pattern author then shares the user-defined pattern with the pattern user. The patterns are most useful when they are shared with the user base, like an organization or a broader community like open source. The pattern user receives a user-defined pattern and customizes it and uses it in accordance with the requirements of the organization or local business process environment. There is a toolkit sample project named Solar Pattern Authoring that provides an example, some of the snapshots from that sample I have given in earlier slides. The broker message project that calculates the sunrise and sunset times in a PHP node. The sample also provides a pattern authoring project that configures a pattern. You may want to take a look at and use it. The slide number 14, please. So here, to create a user-defined pattern, one needs to complete the tasks mentioned here. Extending a user-defined pattern is an optional set of tasks that you can use to add features to your user-defined pattern. For example, by extending a user-defined pattern can be created the user-defined pattern that includes the parameters that the pattern user can modify. And other steps I'll go over one by one and then coming slides. This slide number 15. Creating a pattern authoring project. They create a pattern authoring project and chooses an exemplar for the project. The pattern authoring project can be created from the wizard in a window as mentioned in the file. The pattern and the project names for the pattern are entered in the new pattern authoring wizard. Subsequently, you will be asked to select the project references that are required in the exemplars for the user-defined patterns. Once it's done, the pattern is displayed under the pattern authoring folder in the broker development view and is opened in the pattern authoring editor. Slide number 16, please. The next step is to select the source files to use in the user-defined pattern. In the pattern authoring editor, click the Source Files tab. In the Select Source Files section, select the source files in the reference project that you want to include in your pattern. When a pattern user generates a user-defined pattern, copies of the projects that are selected as the source files in the pattern authoring project are created in the pattern instance. Slide number 17, please. As a pattern author, you can control the project in the pattern by using the property values of the pattern parameter. Configure the groups, pattern parameters, and associated pattern parameters with their target properties using the pattern parameters. And your own logic, you can extend the pattern with, like, for example, Java or PHP code or .NET. By using expat expressions, you can control whether pattern users can edit pattern parameters in the pattern instance editor. If an expression evaluates a Boolean value true, the pattern user can configure the parameter in the configure pattern parameters page. Slide number 18, please. Here, you can edit the parameter groups to control how the pattern parameters are displayed to the pattern users when they create pattern instances from a user-defined pattern. This is where you can configure this. by default, when pattern users configure an instance of a user-defined pattern, all the parameter groups that are defined in the user-defined pattern are enabled. The enabled parameter groups and pattern parameters within these groups are visible to the pattern users in the configure parameter page. You can control whether a parameter group in an instance of a user-defined pattern is enabled by using XPath expressions. If you slide number 19, here I'm going to focus on the tables on this file, as I have another snapshot for focusing on the available user-defined editors. Here, actually, the selection of the user-defined editors, it has to be done here in this page. But here also you can add the tables to your user-defined patterns, into which the pattern users can enter rows of data. To add a table, you must define a table parameter type by specifying columns you want in the table. You must then assign this parameter type to a pattern parameter when you define the user interface for the user-defined pattern. When a pattern user configures an instance of your user-defined pattern, the table columns are displayed and the pattern user can enter one or more rows of the data into the table. You can use enabling XPath expressions to enable pattern parameters that uses a parameter table type. Slide number 20, please. To configure a user-defined editor for a pattern parameter, select a Java code project and Java class within the project. The code in the Java class is run when the editor is used by a pattern user. You can create a new code project and Java class if required. Slide number 21, please. You can transform pattern parameters by using XPath expressions. For example, you can calculate a pattern parameter value from the value centered for other pattern parameters. Like the pp colon get value function is included in addition to the functions of XPath 1.0 specification. The pp get value function takes the parameter ID of the pattern parameter and returns the value of that pattern parameter to see the parameter ID for a pattern parameter. Slide number 22, please. By using XPath expressions, you can control whether the pattern users can edit the pattern parameters in the pattern instance editor. If an expression evaluates to Boolean true, the pattern user can configure the parameter in the pattern parameter page. And if the expression evaluates Boolean false, the parameter is read-only, and the pattern user can configure it. When the pattern user configures the pattern parameters, expressions are evaluated whenever any of the pattern parameters used in the expression change. Slide number 23, please. You can use enumerated types to provide the pattern users with a predefined list of pattern parameters values to select from. For enumerated types that you create, you can add, remove, and edit values. And as a part of the pattern authoring process, any target properties that use a list of values have enumerated types created for them automatically. You can remove values from this automatically generated list, but you cannot add new value or change existing values. Slide number 24. We can drag our user-defined pattern into any of the existing categories in the Pattern Explorer view, or you can create a new category. If you create a new category, then you can write a category specification that provides information about the category for other users. documentation. And next, slide number 25, creating the pattern plugins. You must build the pattern plugins before you can distribute user-defined patterns to the pattern users. In the pattern authoring editor, click the Create Pattern tab. Enter the values in the plugin ID and version fields of your plugin according to the naming and version numbering conventions within your organization. And if there are some optional fields that are given if required. And create the plugins. Click the Create Plugins button. The plugins for your user-defined pattern are created and displayed under the pattern authoring folder in the broker development view. The plugins are named plugin ID and plugin ID dot dot, where you can see, and these are information that you should be able to see in the broker development view. Before you distribute your user-defined pattern, you can test it to ensure that it works correctly. To test your pattern, the pattern authoring editor opens a temporary workspace in which you can generate an instance of your user-defined pattern. You can then check that your user-defined pattern works correctly. If the pattern contains Java pattern authoring API code, then you have to test that one as well, like PHP API code. To enable the pattern users to use your user-defined pattern, you must create a pattern archive from the pattern plugins. Slide number 26, please. The extending patterns for customization. The pattern authoring supports node and promoted properties, as I mentioned. The property variability in the patterns can be expressed either ESQL or MQSC scripts. And also Java, Node, and PHP coding that would invoke the pattern instances are also supported. Slide number 27. The entering Java code, actually, the slide should have been flipped over. Actually, this slide should come in the front. Enter the Java code for your user-defined editor in the Java class as you want to use it. You must assign the Java class and code project in your user-defined editor when you configure the editor. The pattern users edit in an instance of your user-defined pattern by using pattern instance editor, and the code of your user-defined editor passes values to and receive values from the pattern instance editor by using two Java interfaces, like pattern property editor and pattern property editor site. You must write the code to override the methods of these interfaces. You can add Java code to code the plugin project so that it runs when the pattern instance is generated. To add the Java code, select the Java class that you want to run, and you can write your Java class. This Java class must implement the generate pattern instance transform interface. And besides, a .NET pattern can be used for the web services from the assemblies, and you can create message flows and visuals for external consumers within this .NET pattern for service scenarios. The next slide gives some of the reference material, like Message Broker, Info Center, that has a lot of information about these patterns, how to implement and how to use it. And there is a Developer Works article on the patterns in version 7 that could be a best starting point. And time to time, we write updates on the support page, Message Broker support page. There are sample applications, as I mentioned, in the toolkit, and there is a blog. Our colleagues will post their work in the Message Broker blog. that you can refer in these reference material for any additional information. Next slide, please. That's it.
Thank you, Ralph, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the line for questions.
Hi, this is Anthony. Your line is open.
Ralph, it was a great presentation. I have a question. What's the main difference between version 7 and version 8 regarding this pattern?
Yeah, the version 7 and version 8, there are a lot of new additions in the user-defined patterns have been included. Like you should be able to do Java and also the .NET patterns have been included, and also the PHP is included. And not only that, there are number of editors, new editors have been included, and that enriches your user-defined patterns. Those are the areas, actually, the focused areas that for patterns. And I see a number of PMRs in recent times that shows increased use of these patterns, especially in the big shops. From the feedback of these customers, we have included the number of features that you can realize when you are building your user-defined patterns.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And one more question regarding the subflow. If you have a subflow, can I make that subflow in a pattern form? Or
subflows is actually helpful for pattern author not to overwrite when the pattern users recreate the instances. So if for that purpose, you can use subflows. Subflows themselves cannot be a pattern. But of course, I don't know what perspective you're asking. Like, if subflow, you mean within your application, right?
Right. We have a lot of subflows. Like,
yeah, yeah, definitely. Yes, you can.
So
if you should definitely be able to write a pattern on that, yes.
So is that a great candidate for a patternizing?
Definitely, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, if you'd like to ask a question on the phone, please dial *1 at this time. We have no further questions over the phone.
Thank you, Jackie. Now, we do have a couple questions here in the group chat, so I will be announcing these questions verbally over the telephone. The first question here is, can you please explain what is a table?
Yeah, you can add the tables to your user-defined patterns into which the pattern users can enter the rows of the data. To add a table, you should define a table parameter type by specifying the columns you want in that table. So that is actually for the pattern users to add the data into it.
Thank you, Ralph.
Mm-hmm.
The next question we have here is, in which scenario will developers go for the pattern requirement?
As I mentioned in the introduction, the pattern actually will be helpful to enforce the best practices within the business process within the organization. That's one major advantage. Especially, you can avoid simple mistakes with new developers come in and start coding the message broker applications. That's one scenario. And the other scenario, any reusable or problematic prone, those areas of the code can be implemented as a pattern.
Thank you, Ralph.
Mm-hmm.
And I see an additional one here. The question is there a standard pattern for error handling?
Error handling, there are already a number of applications are there. I mean, a number of applications, customers implement their own error handling, and also using the basic infrastructure that IBM provides within the product. If you want to use the pattern for the error handling, you should be able to do it, and I don't see any problem in it. Does it address the question, or?
So the follow-up question here is, what is the name of the pattern for error handling?
There is no built-in pattern. What I meant is you have to write your own code. That could be a user-defined pattern.
Thank you, Ralph.
Do you have a question over the phone from Mahesh Patel? Your line is open.
Yeah, the question is, let's say if I'm designing a new application, can I safely assume that all the common components that I have to build, like auditing, error handling, and the logging, can I develop the pattern, or should I go for the subflow? Like, you know, can we safely assume that, you know, everything can be implemented in pattern and safely use, and, you know, and we can completely avoid developing the subflow?
Here, the pattern, you need to have a subflow built first. The pattern will help actually to distribute for subsequent use of the basic element in your development process. This will help, as I said, to enforce standards within the organization. That's the first thing. And avoid mistakes when you are rebuilding or reusing the same, reoccurring the same elements within the message broker, message flow development. Am I clear here?
Basically, what I mean is, let's say avoiding the mistakes. So one option is to create the subflow and implement the error audit and logging, or create the pattern. Now what, like, you know, so one advantage that I understand is, you know, nobody will be able to override that pattern, and, you know, they can safely use that pattern. If you have subflow, user may have chance to, you know, override, or, you know, it may be error prone. But then, on the other hand, you know, how much more time we will be spending to, you know, develop the pattern and use that?
Pattern will give a lot of leverage, like what parameters you can change or can be viewed by the other developers. The pattern author can decide, and it is you, actually, there's a lot of leverage when instead of giving a subflow to the pass on to the other developers at a lower level, then you can actually decide what part of the box you want them to use, so that you're sure to that extent that the part of the flow works, that you can avoid, that you know that the mistakes are not that in the part of that message flow. That gives a lot of leverage. And depends, again, what are your requirements are. Eventually, people may come out with a number of user-defined patterns and post it into the website, which you would be able to pick it up and put it in your flows. There's a chance to do that, so that you'll have a lot of ease in your message flow or development process.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
We have no further questions on the phone.
Thank you, Jackie. And we have a couple of more questions here in the group chat. The first question is a confirmation. In simple words, can we say that pattern is a reusable component, same like subflows?
It is a subflow or flow. It could be a flow, or it could be a subflow, or it could be a message processing pattern, like a message processing methodology definition that you want to enforce. You can think of anything, like, because the wide variety of options are given to the user, so you can do whatever you want to streamline within your environment at a runtime level.
Thank you, Ralph. The next question here is, doesn't it make more sense to use user-defined node instead of patterns when it comes to subflows?
Can you be a little clearer? Like, the subflow is different and user-defined node is different.
So we would wait for the clarification here and move on to the next one. If we build a pattern and then implement a pattern into a message flow. Is there a way to update the message flow once the original pattern gets updated?
Yes, you can do it. There should not be any problem. Like if we build a prod pattern and then implement the pattern into the message flow, is there a way to update the message flow once the original pattern gets updated? Yes, you can do it. I mean, automate, you mean? I don't think it's a good idea. But you definitely can do it.
All right. The next question here we have is, can we maintain any version controlling for the pattern?
Yes. Version controlling, as one of the slides I mentioned, you can rename it in a different with a different instance name and update your pattern parameters and use the latest version with the latest name. If that is what the version controlling, if Venu means.
We have a question on the phone from Mark Vayner. Your line is open.
Good morning. I want to talk a little bit. You have defined nodes versus pattern. It seems that the problem with pattern is that if you change pattern, you need to update your found bug, and you already generated instances. So there is no way for you to add those enhancements into your existing instances. You have to regenerate instances, and you have to redo all the modifications you already did to those instances. With user-defined nodes, especially if you use subflows, you know, if there is a lot of reuse through subflows, you can create user-defined nodes which encapsulate those subflows, and you can provide those to developers through Java plugin, which is much easier to distribute, and then you have automatically, you know, can distribute any sort of bug fixes, et cetera, that you can find later. So I guess my position is, and this one was my question, if it comes to subflows, not to message flows, it's probably user-defined nodes is much more appropriate. Like, for example, you can create user-defined node out of common error handling subflow or login subflow and distribute it as a Java plugin rather than use pattern. Is it correct?
Yes, to some extent I agree, but the patterns actually gives you a lot of leverage. Of course, the user-defined nodes, you cannot define user groups or pattern users per se. As I mentioned in one of the slides, you can define which user can see what, which user can update what, which user can add a parameter or target properties. You can actually define at a user level. That kind of control you won't see in the user-defined nodes. But it all depends on your environment. If the environment is small and you're happy with what you are doing, I think it's okay. But in a bigger environment, if they want to have more control, I think patterns is the best solution.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
The next question we have here in the web conference is, what is the advantage of making it part of the subflow when you can directly use the subflow?
Pattern, you are building a pattern subflow, right? So if you want to just use a subflow, if you want to give your subflow and make it distribute among your teammates, I think you can do it. But if you want to define as a pattern and give the pattern at a higher level, then that's what the patterns can do for you. The advantage is, again, the patterns is more general and more secure, and you have more controlled rather than just passing the subflow to another person. The other sub, whenever you're passing as a pattern, it's more control. You're guaranteed. You know what's going on in your transferring the flow from one person to the other. But here in passing the subflow, there is no such guarantee for the pattern for a developer at a different level.
So there's a clarification here. Participant meant was that what is the advantage of making subflow part of the user-defined nodes when you can directly use the subflow?
Here's the thing about user-defined nodes. Subflow can be defined as user-defined nodes. That is a different one. Here, user-defined node is different from user-defined pattern. I'm talking about the patterns here. Can we say, the second next question is, can we say message processing wise pattern is good? If you want to patternize your message processing, yes, you can do it. It all depends. Like, if you want to define more controlled processing, yes, you can do it.
Okay, so it looks like we don't have any other questions in the group chat right now. So at this point in time, we are going to conclude the presentation.